child would come in. Yeah. And then his whole interest in that youngster was,
he was really always
that amazing. Yeah. There was a woman there, and they were poverty stricken. Yeah. And he asked her what means she had of getting back home.
Yeah.
Almost to the point of offering her money to go to a private doctor because the hospital was so busy. Now, they were children. No one else down there interested them.
Well, you know that all your life. Yeah. There's always children. His whole life is centered around the children.
Hey, remember the time we bought the...
We're going.
Big family. We had, really, a small degree of sickness. I mean, they had the children's diseases. But for having so many... We really were blessed with good health.
No infants' diseases. They were all normal children.
Oh, yes. They had digestive diseases when they were little babies because I could never feed them. Always had to use artificial feeding for them, but managed to bring them along and raise them.
Why did they have digestive troubles?
Well, in those days, we didn't have all the things that the girls have today for formulas and for patent foods. And what they did have, I think I used.
You didn't nurse any of the children?
I couldn't. I would try to nurse them while I was in the hospital or for the 2 weeks I was in bed, not in the hospital. And as soon as I would get up, I would only be around a week or two. When everything would be gone. And then after Rita was born, Rita was the one child that was born in the hospital. She was the sixth. They were then going to do something to help me. And they, instead of doing anything to help me, they discovered that what I was giving the babies when I first nursed them was really poison to them because half of it was blood. Because I had a cracked nipple that was very close to being abscessed, or what do they call it? Well, it was very close to being a serious condition. And it didn't help at all. It just let the blood all seep in through the milk. And then when I started to artificial feed them, the doctor decided that what I had given them was really poison to the system. And I had to get all that out before I'd start all over again. But it took six babies for them to find that out. So after that, he never even let me try. It was a real cross to me that I couldn't feed them myself.
You recommend that, do
you? Oh, absolutely. Breastfed babies are easier to handle, they're healthier, and it does something to the mother that helps very much. They don't recommend it too much now, I don't think, as a general rule, but it certainly was the way God meant it to be. But there was something the matter with me that didn't develop it. Some sort of...
About Eleanor, do you remember any details of her birth? Or?
Oh yes, Eleanor was born during the terrible flu epidemic.
When was that?
In October... I think Eleanor's 31.
About 20.
About that. 19, maybe. Dad was running for district attorney. And we moved in here the day after election day. And Eleanor was born the following October. There was a break in there, moving in here and all the rest of it. I lost a baby after Patrick. Eleanor was We were in Atlantic City with them, with all with whooping cough in August and September, and we came back here, and Dad was very sick, and he had this terrible flu. At the time, the churches and movies and every place was closed, and the seminarians out in Overbrook were out digging these trenches to bury the bodies in. People were dying so badly. And Dad had the flu, and Mother and I nursed him through it. He was in bed for 10 days. And that was the 1st of October. Mother and I nursed him through it, rolling him from one single bed up there on the third floor to the other, when it would be soaking wet with perspiration, and then rolling him back into the clean bed. Mother's idea was to get it out of him, to sweat it out of him.
Mustard bath.
And liquor. And I think it saved him, too. On the 10th of October, I had been up there in the room with him, giving him his medicine with an alarm clock. The alarm clock on every 2 or 3 hours, whatever it was, even during the night. And this night, I knew it was near time for Eleanor to be born, but I felt myself choking up that I was taking it. So when I gave him the medicine, I took it. And fortunately for me, I didn't know it, but quinine does, is supposed to produce labor.
Was there quinine in the medicine?
Yes. And by morning, I knew that the baby was going to be born. And he got up and said, "You've been sick all night?" I said, "Yes." "Go down and call the doctor." So he put a bathrobe on him, went down and got the doctor. And the doctor came in. And that's the one time that Dr. Hoban was in my room. And he stayed in my room from 9 o'clock in the morning until 4 in the afternoon, until Eleanor was born. And it's the one time I ever remember hearing him make any sort of remark, and he did say very fervently, "Thank God," because there were so many women pregnant dying, just right and left. And I always felt that Eleanor was born with, for some good work, good purpose. And then they sent for the priest, and the priest came in. I had a temperature of 105 when Eleanor was born, and I remember telling the priest about the fire engines, that all I could hear was the fire engines. And he talked to me for a little while. He asked me if I thought I was going to die, and I said no, I didn't think so, because I was needed with these children. And he wanted to know if there was anything bothering me, and I said no, except my pride in these children, and that I knew that God had sent them to me, and that if it was his will, he would leave me with them. And he said no, he didn't think I was going to die either, that the fire engines were the fever, and that that would gradually subside, and just be very quiet and make up my mind that I was going to live and that everything was going to be all right. So